is Matt Stansbury, executive editor at searchdatacenter.com. And today I have Richard Jones, vice president and service director of data center services for the Burton Group. And Richard's been writing about, webcasting about the Sun-Oracle acquisition merger deal. So Richard's been kind of explaining to what Sun and Oracle customers need to expect in the coming months. We're kind of prognosticating what to expect since this we're currently in the quiet period. And Richard, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're sure welcome, Matt.
So we're going to do this Q&A style. We're just going to ask a few questions. Richard's already recorded a video cast that you can watch on searchdatacenter.com, and this is the accompanying Q&A. So I guess my first question, Richard, is who's most likely to feel the pain of this acquisition? What profile the kind of customer that's going to have the most to worry about?
That's an interesting question because there's a lot of it, and us analysts love to say this word, it depends. So I'll try to kind of describe the who fits into that it depends part that would feel the most pain. And that is the Sun hardware customer who's specifically built their world around the Spark environment. If you've watched the webcast, you'll notice that if you've watched Sun themselves since the dot-com bust, the Spark hardware, the proprietary RISC environment, has gradually decreased. This is actually the main reason why Sun has been feeling its pain financially and in the market. The bulk of its revenues were off of its hardware business. And if you kind of watched them over the years, as I have, you saw that for a while there, about 3 or 4 years ago, they couldn't decide what they wanted to be when they grew up. You noticed that they were focusing on the hardware real hard, and then they would switch a few months later and start kind of focusing on the software side, the operating system side. And there was a lot of turmoil going on within the company. This is because the hardware side was being commoditized. For enterprise data center workloads, the x86 platforms have been coming in droves, and their performance and power and capabilities have been coming up to be able to handle most of all of the workloads that are in the data center. Granted, you can always find a few exceptions nowadays, but for the most part, it's a lot cheaper to use commodity-based open-type systems hardware. As opposed to the older hardware. And so Sun had seen a continued decline in market share and in sales of their proprietary Spark hardware. In response to that, they decided, well, if we want to stay in the hardware business, we better also get on the x86 bandwagon. And they came out with a line of systems that are x86-based. This helped, but the problem is they're going up against the large very commoditized companies of Dell, HP, and IBM with their X Server series. So you're in a very competitive market where nobody has much more than about 10 or so percentage market share points as they're all vying for those customers in that market. So the net result is customers who have built their business around the Spark hardware and have not moved off of it. Most people had seen the writing on the wall a few years ago and had started plans to transition off of it. This is going to be the people who are going to probably hurt the most. Secondly, you've got those who have worked with the storage hardware aspects of Sun. Sun does have some good hardware there, but one of the areas that they had focused on were large tape libraries with the storage tech acquisition that they made a few years back. Tape storage is something that's getting more and more pushed into a niche type of solution set for deep archive and above and beyond what people are now starting to do with disk or disk-to-disk type backup and archive using media, which is becoming less and less expensive. And the big change that we saw in that space was a change that occurred in the United States with the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure that was enacted late in 2006 that now makes it where people have to be able to search through and index and look at older data that they have in response to a legal inquisition or query into their company should that arise. The net result is because now they are legally responsible for doing this, searching through tapes is extraordinarily painful, whereas if that data is on a random access type media, such as an expensive disk, searching through that is much quicker, much easier in order to be compliant to that those requirements. This, again, has pushed the value of tape into even deeper and deeper archive, as opposed to just a medium-term archive solution. So this has caused some stress in that space as well. This is a market that had been doing fairly well for Sun in large archiving business, but it's starting to feel the pain. And these are those particular areas that Oracle has historically not been involved in. They have left that hardware business up to other people, assuming and pushing that it would be commoditized. You saw just, it's getting close to about 3 to 4 years ago, Oracle made a big switch to pushing and their own Linux-based platform for the operating system in an attempt to commoditize that, and working on x86 as the primary platform that they want to push. Now, granted, they will support you on other RISC platforms, and on Spark, because that's where their customers are. And as we talked about in the webinar that I've done, everything for Oracle revolves around the database. That's what's important to them. So expect to see that the hardware aspects of Sun will get commoditized, will get discontinued, especially for Spark, and that they will give you a path to migrate. And they will give you the ability to update and support your existing investments that are on the to be supported within the next horizon of about 4 to 5 years. But beyond that, you definitely should have already moved off of or have plans to move off of the Spark hardware and onto something else. If you can move to x86 for the type of workloads, that would be the best move because that's where the rest of the industry is going, so you know you will have support and you will have options. If you have some very peculiar workloads that require some of the capabilities that only exist in the RISC chips, then you would definitely want to take a look at some of the other RISC offerings out there. The one that definitely has the most force behind it in this era is the IBM solutions. There is also the Itanium, although we haven't really seen too much movement and improvement in the Itanium processors from Intel over the past about 6 years. There really hasn't been too much change there. Granted, they did add another core, but some of those who I've talked to, the performance actually dropped a little bit when they did that. And you do have Fujitsu, who used to be the Fujitsu Siemens consortium, and that the Fujitsu bought them out just a little while ago, so that it's now just Fujitsu, who is part of the Open Spark program. So they still are moving forward with some Spark hardware. If you absolutely have some old applications that you can't justify retooling to another processor set, you may want to take a look at Fujitsu, as they may offer some better longer-term support for you for those older applications that you just can't justify moving. So hopefully that gives you an idea that those people who are in the hardware side of Sun with their products are the ones who are going to need to worry the most.
Great. Thanks, Richard. So I guess my next question is, talk to me a little bit about the timeline. What's the timeline for getting off of these technologies? What's the timeline for getting off of Solaris if people need to, even?
Now that's another good question. For the Spark hardware, that's a particular one that I've kind of alluded to, that I suspect that after the quiet period and probably before the end of the year, you will hear end-of-life programs from Oracle on what to do there. They won't leave you in a lurch. They'll give you some some options for support and for transition, and we'll put together some transition plans and to help you out. But the fact of the matter is that they're not in the hardware business, and their intent is to commoditize hardware, and so they're going to want to make sure that that's as cheap as absolutely possible, so that they can sell you the their software and their database at the premium margins. Now, so if you haven't moved off of Spark, you definitely should be looking to do so now. most people already have been or have been in the process. This is where companies like Red Hat and Novell have made a great deal of ground in the enterprise data center by companies moving off of Solaris Spark onto Linux. There have been some people that have started to move from Solaris Spark to V6, but Sun was kind of late into the market with the Solaris x86 and really pushing behind it as the premier platform. Just about a year and a half or 2 years ago, it was kind of like the stepchild to the Spark version of Solaris, and people recognized that and really found that moving to Linux was a better option for them than moving to Solaris x86. However, it has seen some uptake recently because Sun has pushed some more emphasis behind it. I would suspect that because now you're talking Solaris x86 versus Oracle's Linux distribution, which is essentially Red Hat rebranded as Oracle's product called Oracle Enterprise Linux, or OEL for short, there's some competition going on there. However, there's some fundamental differences, and I do not anticipate, especially since Solaris and Open Solaris has been open sourced, I do not anticipate that Oracle will dump it off immediately. They will probably go through, take a look at the inventory of what's there, and take those particular key assets in the operating system and start to work those through the open source community into the open source Linux. So that transition will probably occur a little bit longer, so you don't have to jump on that bandwagon of moving over to Linux if you're a Solaris x86 customer as fast as you probably would if you were a Spark customer. But do expect in the long term that Solaris will just move the way of any other open source package which is not receiving support. It sits out there. You can get to it. You can, if you absolutely have to have something going on, I've seen this happen with the Andrew file system, for example, AFS, those of you who might be familiar with it. IBM had purchased that, had done some work with it, then put it out in the open source, and then just kind of let it languish. There were a couple of larger companies that required that for their businesses. They hired some universities as well as other people to kind of keep it moving forward to them until they had a transition plan to move off of it and onto other technologies as time moved forward. So that was their plan of how to deal with that transition. I would expect to see similar with Solaris, that it will move into the open source, it will start losing the support underneath it over a longer period of time from Oracle/Sun, and then you would see that the technologies that you were interested in Solaris, those will begin appearing in Linux. Maybe not exactly the same, but it will do the end result will be the same, but the way it's getting done is probably through a different method. And that you will find that Linux will be a compelling solution for you in from those perspectives. So expect the Solaris to be a longer-term transition, the Spark hardware to be a shorter term. As far as x86 Sun hardware is concerned, that will go through its life cycle. Oracle, if they decide to keep some of that hardware, may do it for a very special type of appliances, because they're not going to get into the business of competing on the hardware side against their big partners such as HP, IBM, and Dell. They will definitely either sell that the business unit off, or will focus it on very specific appliances to meet particular needs if they do keep it around. Anyway, that should give you some timelines there. But the x86 will probably be within the next year or so. But expect Spark to be the first that you're going to need to work on.
Yeah. My next question is, we've kind of talked about what people need to worry about and the bad news. Who's getting some good news out of this acquisition? Who should be excited about the possibilities of a Sun-Oracle joint technologies?
The Oracle customer is going to see this as a good solution for them, especially when it comes to some questions that had kind of arisen around the higher-level components of the stack, the Java in particular. As Sun was struggling, a lot of people were concerned, what's going to happen with Java? I've invested all of my web interfaces, everything that I've done with my web services are built on Java. should I be concerned? And Microsoft was taking advantage of that and really pushing .NET. And there were some people who started to jump ship over to .NET. I can guarantee you, Oracle does not want customers jumping over to Microsoft. And Java is absolutely key and strategic to the Fusion, middleware, and a lot of other of the higher level value products that Oracle sells. They're not going to let that go. In fact, this was the main reason that they were interested in buying Sun, was for the software unit. Originally, they weren't even interested in the hardware unit. And then they realized that from the board of directors, they had to kind of take all or nothing, and that the Java piece was so important to them, they couldn't lose that because it would be devastating to the Oracle business, that that's the main reason why they're going after this. So Java customers, be very happy. You should be very pleased with what's transpiring here, because you know that Java is going to get full and complete support, and that you'll be able to continue moving forward with your Java deployments in your environment as a result of Oracle making sure that it's going to be sufficient. Oracle would be expected to keep Java licensing and everything as it currently is, because if they mess that up, they're running a huge risk of losing to Microsoft, and that's not something that they would ever want to afford, because Microsoft is a serious threat to Oracle, and they view them as a very serious competitor. So Java customers, you should be just fine. Some of the other customers up in the higher levels will probably be feeling well, the higher software stacks. I didn't mention those customers who have been working with the thin client solutions called Sunray. The software pieces of that, I would expect that Oracle would probably find some interest in, probably move some of that into the open source operating system space. The hardware pieces, they will probably, because they're commoditizing the hardware, they'll probably find a partner to sell that off to. But there'll be a transition phase for that. Hopefully that that gives some idea of who's going to win out of this, and that's the Oracle customer, especially the Java the users.
Great. You'd mentioned Microsoft, and that kind of brings up an interesting issue that you talked about earlier. What do you think Oracle is going to do with the Star Office, Open Office? Are they going to keep it and compete more directly with Microsoft?
That's a real interesting question, because Oracle has a collaboration suite called Beehive. This is more for your kind of an Exchange and SharePoint competitor, although it doesn't really compete too well on there because it's missing a lot of the other pieces that that you would require in order to come out with a much broader solution to compete well. OpenOffice and StarOffice, for those of you not familiar, StarOffice is effectively the same as OpenOffice. There's a few additional capabilities in it, but it's focused with enterprise-level support. So it's a package which is sold to enterprises as a supported solution from Sun. OpenOffice is open source, is available for free, and is distributed in every Linux desktop and a lot of Linux server distributions that exist out there in the market, because it competes quite well, in fact, with Microsoft Office in a lot of ways. There's a lot of people who haven't actually played with it. Myself, I have played with both extensively, and there are actually certain capabilities that I like much better in OpenOffice than I do in Microsoft Office 2007. I would have to say that it doesn't completely replace Office 2007, but your average worker will find everything that they need in OpenOffice, and you'll find those who are need the advanced features, which only represent a small percentage of the population out there, may find that OpenOffice is lacking in certain areas and decide that they have to stick with Microsoft Office. I see that Oracle has a huge opportunity, and I think that they won't pass this up because of the competition that they see with Microsoft. They have an opportunity to take StarOffice, integrate it in with their Beehive suite. They'll have to keep OpenOffice going, or at least push it out to the open source community, and there's all the distribution vendors have been involved in it enough that that will keep it moving forward, because they're so dependent upon it that I don't see any problems with OpenOffice. But I do see that Sun has an opportunity to take StarOffice, integrate it in with their Beehive suite, and compete a little more directly with Microsoft in this space, and offering some solutions that wrap around their enterprise line of business tool suite that they sell on top of the Oracle database. So I suspect that that we will see some interesting things happen there. Hopefully Oracle will take advantage of these opportunities that are presented to them. At the higher levels, anything that helps the database move forward, they tend to focus on and find as important to them. And this is one of those areas, especially around the Beehive acquisition, or the Beehive tool set, that the StarOffice acquisition could help with.
Great. Well, thanks, Richard. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Okay. You're sure welcome. Thank you, Matt.